Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers.
Don't you just love it?
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
Welcome back, everyone. 8:02 the time. Hour number two here on Sports 56 Mornings. Greg Gaston, Eli Savoy, Zach Boyd with you from the Family Leisure Studios. Family Leisure, 2120 Witten Road, just north of I-40. Sean Devaney going to join us here in just a few moments. Jeff Crane later on in the hour. Currently 63 degrees. It will warm up to 83. Looking outside here, sun is shining brilliantly. I know there was a little patchy fog this morning, but we're going to have mostly sunny skies. There will be some clouds rolling in, though. Very, very minimal chance of rain. Low tonight of 62 with clear to partly cloudy skies. And then for your Wednesday, 88 for a high. Sun will be shining tomorrow. Should be a couple of nice days here. Take advantage of it here in Memphis and the Mid-South. Hour two of the program is brought to you by our friends at James Gattis Jewelers. They are your family's jeweler. 4900 Poplar Avenue between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com. Mother's Day is just a couple of weeks away, and there's a big event going on at James Gattis this week, May 2nd through the 4th. It's called the Stack and Save Sale on all brands and bracelets of those beautiful, beautiful diamond bracelets, emerald bracelets, all different types of jewels. You save this way, 20% off the first one you buy, 30% off if you buy two, 40% off if you buy three. So join them for their spring spectacular. They call it the Stacktacular sales event starting Thursday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 4th. Shop all the newest styles and designs from their recent buying trip and enjoy huge savings on all stackable rings and bracelets just in time for Mother's Day. Again, up to 40% off if you purchase three from James Gattis Jewelers. Shop online at James Gattis Jewelers 24/7. Again, it's James Gattis Jewelers, the website GattisJewelers.com, or visit them at 4900 Poplar between Mendenhall and St. Nick, and on the web at GattisJewelers.com, as I mentioned. Time now to continue to talk NBA playoffs. We do so with one of our favorite guests, NBA insider, content editor for Heavy.com. He's also an author of several books, including Greed and Glory. He is Sean Devaney. You can follow Sean on Twitter at Sean Devaney. He joins us now on Sports 56 Mornings. Hey, Sean, how are you?
How are you guys? Doing pretty well here.
Thank you for joining us. Let's start with the late game from last night. Denver disposes of the Lakers. The Lakers hung tough for the most part, and this season hung tough for the most part because they were healthy for the most part with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. But now, of course, let the speculation begin. Will Darvin Ham be a casualty for the Lakers exiting in the first round?
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet. This has not been a great fit. I think from the beginning there were questions about Darvin Ham, you know, coming into his first job. And, he's sort of seen as a guy who would be great for a developmental situation. And, of course, the Lakers are a team trying to win a championship. And I think you saw really a lack of confidence from Darvin Ham, both in himself and I think from the players. There was a lot of questioning about his rotations, his lineups, how he handled certain situations throughout the year. They had some very good stretches. But they had injuries throughout, and it just seemed like they were always flailing and trying to find the right mix, which is fine for the first 20 games, but they were still doing it, 60, 70 games in. So I do think that I'd be really surprised if we see Darvin Ham come back.
If LeBron is back one way or another, with LeBron and Anthony Davis, obviously you're competitive, and those two guys were healthy and played throughout the year. But like, there's not much they can do. I mean, doesn't it feel like they're pretty much this team going forward?
Well, the option that they have is to take a bunch of the guys that they signed last summer and package them together and try to get a third star. And we've seen around the league how well that's worked. You know, you can ask the folks in Phoenix, how much having three stars is going to guarantee you. But you know, certainly, look, if they can package a D'Angelo Russell with Rui Hachimura, Austin Reeves, you know, they've got contracts that they can do a lot of mixing and matching and put together an offer for another player. The problem is that they've got one draft pick. They've dealt away so many of their draft picks already that there's just nothing left. So they can only include one draft pick. If you're a team that's trading a star player, you're probably going to want draft capital, and they just don't have it. So the question is, can they find a player who another team doesn't want and wants to get off the contract bad enough that they'll take some of the Lakers' role players rather than taking the draft capital. That's really their only other option, other than trying to run it back as it is, which maybe with the new coach should be some different results. Hard to see that, though.
Sean Devaney joining us on the Sissy's Log Cabin guest line. So I went on my soapbox in hour number one of our program, and I said, look, stop any speculation that LeBron's retiring. The only way LeBron's retiring is after a year of going to every arena where he's celebrated for the player he is, and I can understand him doing that because he's arguably the greatest, right, along with MJ. So he is not going out quietly. So that's the first thing I said. He is not retiring. You will know when he's going to retire because it will be a year celebration. The other thing is, I do believe that the Lakers will do something with Bronny James, and they will do something to appease him. What do you think?
Yeah, you know, I think there's two things that LeBron has coming up. He's going to be a free agent. He can opt out of his contract and be a free agent. Everybody I talk to would agree with you, and that is, he's going to be back with the Lakers. He's not going to retire, and he's not going to go ahead and leave the Lakers either. So he's got that most likely as his future, but he can use some leverage with his impending free agency and getting the team to bring Bronny in, which is something that he stated that he wants. You know, he wants to play with his son. That would be one thing. A coach. You know, look, if Ty Lue doesn't survive and with the Clippers, and that's possible, there's no question that LeBron wants Ty Lue to be the kind of the coach to take him out. To be the coach when he retires. He would love to have that situation. So, he got that little bit of leverage with his free agency. Again, I don't think anybody believes he's going to actually leave, but he can certainly get the organization to do a couple things that he wants.
How many more years do you think he might play?
That's a good question. Obviously at least one. I would say two is a safe bet, and maybe three. I think he probably signs a 2-year deal once he opts out of this one and kind of commits to that, and then I think after that he'd probably have that, as you mentioned, that sort of final season where he does the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar thing and gets a motorcycle and all that stuff at different arenas.
Exactly.
So I think he's going to play two and then probably one more sort of the retirement season. That's my best guess, just going on things he said and of course the way he played.
I'm looking at the numbers for Oklahoma City, who just finished off the sweep, as you know, of New Orleans. Their average age is 23.4. They're the youngest one seed, the youngest team to win a series, youngest team to sweep a series, and they received 99.5% of their points from players aged 25 or younger in their series versus the Pelicans. I know they're really good. How good are they?
Yeah, I mean, just a great matchup for them against the Pelicans, but even within that, they really did play like a team that didn't seemed to know it was the playoffs and they were supposed to be scared.
Yes.
And, you know, that's, you'll love to see that from them. You know, again, with Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, that doesn't surprise me. You know, he has that kind of mentality. But to see it from Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, Giddey, you know, all the guys on that team, you know, that was pretty impressive the way that they, that really the bright light did not scare them at all. You know, we'll see what happens. Obviously, the Pelicans aren't a great team, and are a tremendously experienced playoff team either. You know, we'll see what happens in the next round when they'll get a team that has a little more experience. That'll be interesting. But there's no reason to think that we can't see Oklahoma City in the conference finals, certainly based on what we've seen so far.
With what they did in the first round, obviously Minnesota, extremely impressive what they did in the first round, and Anthony Edwards, you know, kind of becoming that guy. Mm-hmm. And then obviously the defending champions in Denver and what they did. Who would you consider the favorite in the West right now?
I still think it's Denver, and I still think in the end, and look, and you know, Minnesota and Oklahoma City, as I mentioned, have both answered the bell in terms of one of the big question marks about them being, you know, they just didn't have any playoff experience, and how are they going to handle that, and are they going to be able to adjust to playoff basketball? They've answered that question pretty well so far. So, you know, having said all that, I do think experience will matter as we go further and further into this thing, and I think that's going to ultimately be what decides it for Denver. So, you know, these are going to be two very tough series for the Nuggets going forward, but you know, certainly I do think that the depth, the veteran know-how, all that stuff that the Nuggets have, I think that's going to be the real difference maker. Assuming they get, you know, Minnesota and then Oklahoma City, which, you know, we don't know obviously what will happen with Thunder, but you know, if they are able to win that second round, you know, really some interesting tests for Denver. But I just think that the playoff experience will be too much.
Who do you like in this now best 2 of 3 between the Clippers and Dallas?
Oh man, I mean, this was always going to be you know, pretty predictable in terms of being a 7-game series. Mm-hmm. It just seems like it always is with those two teams. But you know, I do think that I think it's going to in part come down to coaching, and I think Jason Kidd is a much better coach than he used to be. But I still think Ty Lue is one of the top 2, 3, 4 coaches in the league. So I think that knowing the buttons to push and having a little bit deeper pool of talent, I think that's probably going to work in favor of the Clippers. So I'd say Clippers. Like I say, I'd be shocked if this thing didn't go 7. And I said mm-hmm. that before the thing started. But you know, I think ultimately, I think Ty Lue's probably going to be one of the difference makers here.
What's the feeling in Boston after the Porzingis injury?
Yeah, you know, obviously nerves. You know, I mean, it was always you know, a little bit of playing with house money. You kind of wanted him to get injured in November because you knew it was going to happen. You didn't want it to happen. You know, you didn't want to see it happen at this time of year. So, you know, obviously it's tough, but you know, we'll see exactly what's going on with it. You know, obviously his sort of immediate reaction makes you nervous, but you know, we hope that it's not too serious. I think what we've seen from the rest of the Eastern Conference makes me think that the Celtics still should be able to win this
yep.
conference even without Porzingis. You know, I think that when you look at that team, and I mean, Derek White is the fifth best player, and you look at what he did, yeah. You know, last night. They're so deep, and you know, an injury like this is exactly why they wanted the depth that they have. So you know, we'll see where things stand with Porzingis, but I still have some confidence in them to win the East. Even if he's not 100%.
I had given Philly before the playoffs started the best chance in my mind to beat mm-hmm. Boston. And then Embiid was hurt, then he came back, and now he's back, but they're down 3-1. I got to give a lot of credit to the Knicks, and Jalen Brunson is a gamer and doing this without Randall. Do you think Philly can make this miraculous comeback and win three straight and win, or do you think it's the Knicks, and what about the Knicks moving on?
No, I mean, I've seen a different, you know, I think obviously Brunson, you know, has been great after two tough games to start the series. But I, you know, I think there's a different sort of attitude that comes with OG Anunoby, with Hart, with DiVincenzo. You know, they're a much tougher, better defensive team. You know, this is a team that even if you go back to last year or 2 years ago when they played Atlanta, you know, it just seemed like they were so fragile that if you just pushed them in the right spot, they were going to crumble. And that's gone. You know, they've done a good job in getting some guys in there who have a lot of fight in them and have a certain level of toughness. And so, I just don't see them giving up the lead that they've got. You know, again, like if this was last year even or certainly 2 years ago, it'd be a different story. I just think the guys that they've added with Anunoby and Josh Hart, you know, those guys, I think, bring a different attitude to this team, and I think you see that on the floor.
If Philadelphia goes out in the first round, like where does Philadelphia go from here with Joel Embiid?
Yeah, it's going to be tough because, you know, you're obviously in a part of his career that, you know, from the beginning of his career, you were worried you were going to get. You know, don't forget, he sat out for 2 years before he ever you know, played NBA basketball. So, you know, there was always a concern that this guy was not going to be healthy night in, night out. And you're kind of at that point now where we're sort of seeing that. You know, he's 30 years old. They've gotten, you know, a lot out of him. He does not play 82 games, no question, you know, and only played 39 this year. But you know, it's tough because they are committed to him. You can't trade him, and you can't move off of him. You know, the contract is what it is. You're not getting out of that. So they've got to keep building forward with him. But it's tough to build forward with a guy who, you know, you just don't know if he's going to be out there or not. And when he is, he's just and all credit to him. I mean, you know, he's playing on one knee and doing a pretty good job of it. But, you know, at some point, you know, that's who you are. And it seems like no matter what the Sixers do, no matter how they shuffle this deck, that's who they are. You know, they're all dependent on this Joel Embiid's knee, and it's just there's no way for them to get out of that.
Is it as simple as saying Milwaukee doesn't have Giannis and now they don't have Dame, so that's why they're losing? Or do we go back to the whole hiring of Doc Rivers and the struggles even with those guys in the lineup? What's the situation with Milwaukee? It doesn't appear they're going to survive and get eliminated here in this first round, but what about the future with Doc at the helm?
Yeah, and you know, Doc could wind up being the fall guy here, but you know, basically they shouldn't have gotten rid of Budenholzer to begin with. You know, to hold him accountable the way that they did is that was obviously a mistake. Mm-hmm. But you know, the injuries are certainly to blame, and I think Indiana deserves some credit too. You know, I mean,
right.
Obviously acquiring Siakam was such a great move for them. And you know, everybody knows how good Tyrese Halliburton is. He hasn't played that great, but you know, he has such an impact on the game. And you know, Miles Turner has always been sort of an underrated big guy.
Yeah.
So I mean, you got to give a lot of credit to what the Pacers have done here. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, if you don't have Lillard and you don't have and you don't have Giannis, you know, it didn't matter who the coach was going to be. This was never going to be a series that the Bucks could win. Mm. But no question, you know, in the big picture, even with the healthy Giannis, he doesn't sound very happy. You know, and in Milwaukee, they're always on eggshells about him asking out, about
right.
him wanting to leave. So they're going to have to deal with that as well. So. Yeah, they're gonna have to have some big decisions in terms of what their future is, especially because, like I say, they're always gonna have an eye on making sure that Giannis is happy.
You working on a new book?
I am, in fact, yeah. We're doing some NFL stuff.
Really?
Yeah. This won't be out till next year, but it's slowly but surely coming around.
Well, fantastic. We'll talk about it when it comes to fruition. But later on in the playoffs, towards the championship series, hopefully get you back on, Sean, and talk about that. Love your insight. He's NBA insider and content editor for Heavy.com. He's Sean Devaney. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean Devaney. And he's written a number of books, including Greed and Glory. If you haven't purchased, if you haven't read it yet, you need to do so. Sean, as always, thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Take care.
It's time now for Humdinger's Trivia, as we do each and every Tuesday, give you an opportunity to win a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. Of course, today being Tuesday, that means it's Taco Tuesday over at Humdinger's. They're chicken and fish tacos, just $2 each. That's all day each and every Tuesday that you can take advantage of them. You can always take advantage of the great food that they have over at Humdinger's. If it's not the tacos, of course, all the grilled fish options. They've got sandwiches. They've got salads. They got the crispy fish and chips. They do a special for that on Fridays. All kinds of great things, and it's just a wonderful, great healthy meal, delicious meals that you'll find over at Humdinger's. Poplar and Massey is where you'll find them. You can also find them online, humdingersrestaurant.com, and you can check out the entire menu there on the website. You can get details about catering. If you've got an event coming up that you need catered, they could certainly take care of that as well. You can get all those details, see their catering menu at humdingersrestaurant.com. If you are the first to answer our trivia question correctly, well, then you'll get the $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. You can answer via text on the Sissy's Log Cabin listener line at 901-360-8255. 901-360-8255. Text in those answers. And here is today's question. Going back to the year 2000. Since the year 2000.
Don't you sing after making fun of
there is one guys. NBA team that has not been involved in a playoff sweep either way. They have not swept anybody, and they have not been swept. There's only one. Which team is it?
Hmm.
They have not been involved in a sweep in the playoffs either direction. They haven't swept anybody. They haven't been swept. Since the year 2000, there's only one team. Which team is it? 901-360-8255. Text in those answers. First correct answer gets the $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's. Only team since 2000 to not be involved in a playoff sweep either way.
When we come back, Jeff Crane joins us, the interim athletics director at the University of Memphis. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now back to Sports 56 Mornings on Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour is brought to you by James Gaddis Jewelers.
To reveal the full spectrum of its dazzling color.
Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy. Light up on guns,
bring your friends home. I have great faith in our listeners. I believe we've got very intelligent listeners.
Here we go.
You got to be smart to listen to this program.
Here we go.
Sometimes they do make me wonder. If the question that I ask is which team, again, there is one of them, has not been involved in a sweep in the playoffs since 2000. They haven't swept anybody. They haven't been swept.
Mm-hmm.
There's only one of them in the entire NBA that hasn't been involved in a sweep since 2000. It would stand to reason that the first answer we get should not be the team that was swept last night. I mean, that seems like I would not go with the team that was swept just last night.
So you're telling me the Pelicans are not the correct answer?
And last night did not change it, by the way. The Pelicans had been swept previously, so last night didn't even affect that. But I wouldn't go with the team that was swept last night as the answer to the question of which team has not been involved in a sweep since 2000. Again, there's only one of them, but there is one that has not been swept and not swept anybody since 2000.
And every single team has been in the postseason.
Yes.
Right. Which is says something about variety. I'm not going to say that there hasn't been dominant teams. We've seen that obviously with the Golden State Warriors here recently. But, and there's not, equality across the board as far as the teams are concerned and the organizations. But that's impressive to have every team have at least played in one playoff series, in my opinion.
There are only four teams that haven't been swept since 2000.
But that's not the question.
Only one of them hasn't swept anybody else.
Okay.
But, I mean, you think about, like, it's pretty crazy, like, that there's only four teams since 2000. 26 of the 30 teams have been swept out of the playoffs since the year 2000.
I don't even have a well-thought-out guess. It's just the first team that came to mind. I have it in my mind right now. I'll wait to see what that answer is, and I'll tell you if I'm right or wrong. But this has there's no analytics. There's no numbers to back it up. It's just why they popped in my head. I don't know why.
We do not have a correct answer yet.
Okay.
901-360-8255. 901-360-8255. Again, the one NBA team who since the year 2000 has not been involved in a postseason sweep either direction. They have not swept anybody. They have not been swept. 901-360-8255. You could text in those answers for a $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
Jeff Crane's going to join us in just a few moments. He's finishing up on a call right now. You know, he's the interim AD, so the responsibilities have been heightened, have been elevated. But he is going to join us as he always does, and he's great doing so. Not going to big time us. He's going to be with us here in just a few moments. Couple of things before we do bring on Jeff. This was an interesting tweet. This comes from Pokey Scoop, Oklahoma State. Cover Oklahoma State. Musa Cisse is verbally committed to Oklahoma State basketball. Previously with Oklahoma State from 2021 through 23, then he hit the portal, went to Ole Miss, and played for the Rebels last year. The 7-foot, 230-pound center is expected to return to Stillwater after the one-year hiatus at Ole Miss. He is expected to still visit Memphis, where he began his college career. If this is true, why would he visit Memphis, and why would Memphis entertain him? Are you going to change his mind?
You could change his mind.
I mean, if he's already verbally committed, you say sayonara.
Verbal commitments change all the time.
No, I understand, but is he that much of a talent that you...
He clearly likes reunions.
He likes reunions.
So he might... Memphis, the nostalgia of Memphis may be more than the nostalgia of Stillwater.
Knowing that he was probably going to visit Memphis, why would you verbally commit to the other school unless you weren't going to continue on with that trip? I don't know. In this day and age, anything is possible. Anything is probable. Also, we're going to get, as Jeff's going to join us here in just a moment, we're going to get into the UAB story. In fact, I'm going to ask Jeff about that. But UAB, if you missed this yesterday, their football players, their entire roster, have signed up for athletes.org, making them the first Division I football team to publicly join the Players Association. They were introduced to the group by an unexpected source, according to the story by Dan Murphy. Their head coach, Trent Dilfer, gathered his team for a voluntary meeting in mid-April to encourage them to prepare for a future when college athletes might be able to negotiate for a larger share of their sports revenue. And we got this whole revenue sharing story that's out with Pete Thamel. So we'll talk to Jeff about that that's going on. All things University of Memphis. It's time for Jeff Crane.
It's time to talk Memphis Tigers athletics. Joining Greg and Eli is University of Memphis Deputy Athletics Director, Jeff Crane. Here's Jeff with Greg and Eli.
Right here,
Not only the University of Memphis Deputy Athletics Director, he is now the Interim Athletics Director. He is Jeff Crane. You can follow him on Twitter at jcrane75. Jeff, thank you so much for joining us. I know how busy it is for you.
Good morning, guys.
It has been a whirlwind. Last week, the news was out. You couldn't speak on it because the school had not sent anything official about Laird Veach, but Laird moving on to take over at Missouri. What's it been like inside, behind closed doors, as far as that news is concerned?
You know, I think it's a testament to the leadership that Laird provided here at Memphis, but even more so, it's a testament to our staff. To be honest, it's been business as usual. We have a great foundation here. We have a lot of momentum here. We have some big projects that are on the horizon, and Laird's leadership style allowed for openness and inclusiveness. So we have a lot of people involved in these projects as well. So we're not stopping at all. We have a new leader for now, and I'm appreciative of that opportunity, but we're not slowing down any.
Yeah, and that's the thing, I guess, and you kind of answered there, but obviously the fact that everybody was involved, and it wasn't like Laird's just doing this all by himself, and so nobody knows what's going on. But what is it like for you to step in and be that interim guy, and as you said, try and manage all of these big projects that are coming up?
Yeah, you know, I mean, certainly the workload has probably shifted some, and I think there are many in our department that will feel that one way or the other. But you know, I also think that it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity for me. It's an opportunity for everybody on our staff to have a greater and more significant role in some of these big things that we're doing. I mean, the stadium project, which we've talked a lot about, is a huge opportunity. The implementation of the FedEx partnership is a big opportunity. But all of these things are things that we've been talking about for months, and in the case of the stadium, years. And so we know the steps we need to take. We're gonna keep pressing forward.
Laird by no means was a one man or one person show. He had a lot of people like yourself that have helped the cause, and why there is so much positive news, especially recently at the University of Memphis. What he has done has been sensational, and he will be missed. But as you just mentioned, the projects aren't going away. There's a lot to get done, and you're in very good hands. And you're a modest man. I think I know you pretty well by now. But, Jeff, you got to feel confident in what you can do. And I would imagine, even though you may not want to speak of it, that you would love to have that permanent job.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I, you know, to answer the question for starters, I absolutely would like to have this job, and you know, for me, this is about what's best for the University of Memphis in the long run. But some continuity there and opportunity to move forward some of these projects, I think, is important for the university, but. I'm going to stay focused on those things right now, not necessarily focused on what lies ahead for me personally, because I know that in the end, as long as the university benefits from this, then I will too. So, but I am confident in my and our team's ability to keep things moving.
Have you been given any indication, like what is the timeline for wanting to have somebody permanently in that seat?
Yeah, I'm not sure what that may look like. The president will make those decisions, I'm sure, in the coming weeks. But, you know, not something, as I mentioned, that I'm overly concerned about. The president has been wonderful to me and to our program over the last week, just reaching out, making sure that we have his support and know that he's available to us as necessary. So, not overly concerned about what that timeline looks like, but we'll leave that up to the president.
May 1st, tomorrow, so here it is, it's May. When can we expect to see the first bulldozers, cranes, whatever tools and equipment they need to refurbish Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium? When does it begin?
Yeah, I think we're weeks away now, as opposed to months away. We don't have the exact date when we'll have construction trailers and whatnot on site, but it is coming soon, and We're really excited about it. That'll get our phase one in place, and phase two, which is the demolition of the stadium, we hope to start later this summer. We do still have some fundraising that needs to be done there, but are very confident that they will reach that number as we have been confident from the beginning. So lots of big things happening around Citizens Bank Liberty Stadium this summer, and more to come in terms of details.
Of course, we're getting to postseason time for some sports, and the men's tennis team got the NCAA bid yesterday.
Yeah, so excited for Chris Doerr and that program. And we've gone to now four straight NCAA tournaments on the men's side, and 10 out of the last 12 years been in the NCAA tournament. So we have a nationally relevant men's tennis program, and I think you can see the continuity there, despite the fact that Coach Goble, who did an unbelievable job for the University of Memphis, retired, and then we hired Chris and didn't miss a beat, went straight to the tournament in his first year. So really shows you the culture of that program, and Coach Goble deserves a lot of credit for what he's done and what he built there, and really excited for them. They on Friday travel to Knoxville and face the University of North Carolina. So big opportunity in front of us in men's tennis.
What else here in the next few months to kind of wrap up the scholastic year, what other things should we keep an eye on?
Yeah, you know, we've got, in addition to the stadium, we're working almost daily now with our partners at FedEx to implement what is a one-of-a-kind NIL program, and certainly new to us and new to FedEx. And so as we work through that, I think folks will see a lot more visibility for our student athletes in the coming months, which we're really excited about. We're also going to break ground on a significant project for student housing that our student athletes will benefit from on South Campus. That'll come in the next few months. So some really big things in front of us.
All right, final thing for you, and we'll let you go, and we appreciate it. I know you're always busy, but it's been elevated here in recent days. This is a story that I'm sure we'll have to talk about in more in-depth next week. It's still starting to get going here. It's just starting. Yesterday, as you probably know, the UAB football players, led by their head coach, have decided to join the Players Association. So that's the first group that has done that, where they're hoping to negotiate for a larger share of their sports revenue. Same day yesterday, we get the story from Pete Thamel that the leaders of college sports are involved in deep discussions to reach a legal settlement that would likely lay out the framework for sharing revenue with athletes in a future NCAA business model. Again, we're just kind of scratching the surface here, but it looks like we're going down that avenue. Is that what you believe as far as revenue sharing?
You know, it certainly appears to be, and I think, you know, it seems to have been this way, I don't know, for the last 4 or 5 years, but it's just constant change. And what we need to do on our side is to stay flexible and nimble enough to adjust to what that change is. And you take the partnership with FedEx, that really sets a platform and a foundation for us to be able to create revenue opportunities for our student athletes. And I think in the end, that's what this is all about. And we're excited about that. And we're well positioned here at Memphis to maximize those revenue potential opportunities for our student athletes. So, you know, what that looks like very specifically 6 months from now, a year from now, hard to say, but we're certainly looking at it closely and excited for what that future may be.
Well, Jeff, as always, we can't thank you enough. I know, as I mentioned, things have been elevated for you, and to be able to follow through with your commitment to us, I can't thank you enough, and we'll talk more about it next week.
Thanks so much, guys. Go Tigers, go.
Thank you, Jeff. Jeff Crane, University of Memphis, Interim Athletics Director.
Still do not have a correct answer in a Humdinger's trivia. I actually do have a correct answer. However, it was somebody's second guess. You do not get multiple guesses. Get one chance.
Big brother's watching.
You get one chance to get it correct. You don't get to just start guessing time after time after time. I will give a hint coming up if we don't have a correct answer yet. I'll give a hint on the correct answer. Folks, moving can be stressful. If you've got a move coming up, maybe you're moving to a new home, maybe it's a new office space, whatever it is, whatever you're moving, wherever you're moving, if it's across town or across country, you don't want to try and do it yourself. You want to make sure you get the professionals. And the folks at Black Tie Moving are just that, the professionals. When it comes to moving, they are the correct professionals, the ones you want helping you to take that stress, take that worry out of the moving process for you. Talk to the folks at Black Tie Moving. They work with you, coming up with the plan for your move that fits your needs, fits your budget. They give you no obligation quote up front to make sure you know exactly what it's going to cost as well. 901-316-6196 is the phone number, 901-316-6196. You can give them a call there, or you could go to the website blacktiemoving.com/Memphis. And again, talk to the folks at Black Tie Moving to come up with that plan for your move. Don't try and do it yourself. Don't ask your lazy friends. Get the professionals. Black Tie Moving, 901-316-6196 or blacktiemoving.com/Memphis.
You're listening to Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.
Broadcasting from the Family Leisure Studio, we are Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. Now, back to Sports 56 Mornings.
Isn't it a lovely morning?
On Sports 56 and 98.5 FM. This hour brought to you by James Gattis Jewelers. Here once again, Greg Gaston and Eli Savoy.
So I do not have to give a hint. Somebody came with the correct answer just before the hint was given out.
Okay.
And again, somebody earlier had the correct answer, but it was your second guess. You don't get multiple guesses here. We'll just get start firing away. You can't name all 30 teams and just say, hey, I got it right somewhere in there.
My percentage was low, but I still nailed it.
Somewhere in there. My correct answer is somewhere in there.
Same difference. That's all it is.
Did not have a good batting average, but at least I got a hit there.
The question was, since the year 2000, what NBA team has not been involved in a sweep in the postseason? And there is only one of them. There are four teams that haven't been swept. Those four teams, by the way, who's your answer?
Indiana.
Okay, you're wrong.
I figured I'm wrong. I don't know. It just popped up in my head, Indiana.
I was going to say Phoenix.
That is incorrect as well. The four teams that have not been swept are the Bulls, the Thunder, the Warriors, and the Rockets.
The Bulls, the Thunder, the Warriors. Warriors makes sense. The Rockets.
Those are the only four teams that have not been swept themselves. But three of them have swept a series.
Okay.
One has not.
Okay.
The only one that has not been involved in a sweep either way since the year 2000 would be the Houston Rockets.
Congratulations to our winner.
So congrats to our winner. We will be notifying you how you will get your $25 gift certificate to Humdinger's.
That's extremely hard to guess, number one. Number two, even if you're looking that thing up, it's very hard to figure that out and find the right answer, in my opinion. But somebody obviously got it, unless they knew it. And if they did, more power to you.
And the Rockets have been to the playoffs 13 times in that stretch.
What was it again, this century?
Yes, that's 2000.
It's amazing because of the Bulls. You think of the Bulls, but all the great Bulls teams with Jordan were in the 90s. So the Bulls, I still can't believe every team has made the playoff in this century. I know it's been 24 going on 25 years, but still, that says a lot. Very nice.
I mean, when over half the league goes to the playoffs, like it's not hard to make the playoffs.
I know, but there's been some doormats, but you're right. It's a long time. You're a doormat for 7-8 years, and then all of a sudden you get it turned around, especially if you hit on the draft lottery.
The Bulls swept the Heat in the 2006-2007 season. That's the only sweep they've been involved in.
Okay.
And they are one of the four that has not been swept. The Grizzlies, if I remember correctly, when I was looking at this, the Grizzlies are tied for being swept the most. Right. I think there was four teams that have been swept.
Three times?
Five times.
Five times?
I think it's five times.
Wow, Grizzlies have been swept five times?
Well, they got swept the first three times they were in.
Spurs. How many times did Spurs sweep them? Twice?
Well, the Spurs swept them in the conference finals. They were swept the first three times they were in the postseason, those 3 years. They were swept to the conference finals by the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
And was there one more? It might be four.
Was one of the first three the Spurs also?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Was there another sweep that they were involved in? It may be four that all those.
I thought it was four, but that's my memory's not the best. So, but I remember the Spurs doing it a couple of times.
Now the Spurs swept them in the first round again. The Spurs swept them twice in the first round and once in the conference finals.
So three out of the five.
And then the Suns and Mavericks. Okay. The other two, those first three trips to the postseason.
I remember the Mavericks series. Remember all the Spurs series. I don't remember the Suns series that much. I don't know why. I don't. ESPN sources, Timberwolves coach Chris Finch will undergo surgery to repair a right patellar tendon on Wednesday. It remains unclear whether he'll be able to open conference semifinal series versus Nuggets on the bench. So who is their lead assistant? Do you know, in Minnesota?
Do not.
So Chris Finch, because of that collision from his own guy, friendly fire, Mike Conley, who got pushed into him, undergoing surgery. Speaking of basketball, you want to perfect your shot? You want to have the best-looking shot in town? Shoot 360 Memphis can help you do that. From preps to pros, perfect your shot, challenge yourself, compete with others, and learn the proper ways to shoot the basketball using modern analytics. Graduation's coming up. It's a great graduation gift for a loved one. It is a great birthday present for a loved one. When Christmas comes around, it's a great Christmas present for somebody. Who loves basketball in your family? I'm sure it's numerous people. You want to play the game better, you need to shoot better. And that's what they do at Shoot 360 Memphis. So parents and grandparents and coaches of teams, this is the place for your sons, your daughters, your grandchildren, your players to go. But it's also great for adults too. This is the same system that stars like Steph Curry use. And that's true. It's a revolutionary training facility that combines cutting-edge technology with expert coaching to improve shooting skills. The facility is equipped with advanced shooting machines that provide real-time feedback on shooting accuracy and arc and depth. Players can track their progress to analyze their performance. They're currently located in Collierville. Shoot 360 Memphis is moving its facility to an even bigger space in Cordova, state of the art. It's opening up on June 1st, and they're taking reservations today. Memberships. You can sign up for your membership today. So register at Shoot 360 Memphis to sign up, or call them to sign up as well at 901-316-5500, or go see them right now where they're at in Collierville. It's Shoot 360 Memphis.
Wait, hold on. Who was your answer?
Phoenix.
They were just swept. They just got swept. Swept the Grizzlies. They swept the Grizzlies, and they literally just got swept two nights ago. You're as bad as the listener who came in New Orleans.
He may have been the guy. He may have texted in that New Orleans guest.
I was not thinking about this year. That's why.
And again, they swept the Grizzlies. They're the ones that swept the Grizzlies.
Yeah, and you have great memory of the history of the Grizzlies. You just weren't paying attention. That's all.
No. I didn't know. I knew. I had a feeling like they swept the Grizzlies in the early 2000s, but I couldn't remember. But
I'll let you off the hook.
I won't.
We'll take a quick break. Come back. Hour number three, we open up with our weekly golf segment. We'll be joined in studio by Mickey Barker, the administrator of golf for the city of Memphis. This is Sports 56 Mornings with Greg and Eli on Real Sports Talk, Sports 56 and 98.5 FM.